God is asking us women to examine ourselves, to open up our hearts, lay before the Lord, and that I love the picture because see how there's that missing piece in the middle? I feel like God is taking the missing pieces and he's kind of putting them back together again and going, okay, this is what you need. And so humility and all everything that we've been talking about, I believe that they're all kind of linking up. They're all kind of part of everything. And if we can grab the pieces of what has been being taught over this season, then what we will do is we will begin to see our hearts become anew. You know, the old things have passed away and new things have become. And so I believe that the Lord is drawing us to become something new. Now you say, but people don't change. Remember, I've told you that there's even that song on Frozen and like these little people that roll around. I don't even know what they are. What are they? Trolls. They roll around and like, people don't change. And I'm like telling my kids, yes, they do. That is a lie. You know, like, so every time now the show comes on, the kids are like, lying, that's a lie. You know, like, and listen, the world says people don't change because they want to manipulate you into what they want you to believe. But see, God says, oh no, you can change because I never created you to be in your sin nature. I always wanted you to be in my nature. That means in order for you to walk out this path into my nature, you have to die to the old man. That means you're gonna change. And so the Lord had begun to minister to me when I was listening to Michelle's message, and we had like all these topics. We like had a meeting and we're gonna just preach on these things, and it just seems like every week we haven't done what we said. So you know what? I just trust that God knows what he's doing. And the Lord began to speak to me and he said, what was something that you grabbed a hold of, Jess, and you saw a difference in your life when you applied it in your heart? And I said, obedience. When every time I've obeyed you, God, and every time I've chosen to do that, I have seen the right outcome always come of it. And he said, yes, and that's a hard issue. Because you have a choice to obey. You have a choice whether you want to do it or not. And I want to take us to a story. We're going to read a story in Genesis, and we're going to launch out from there. And Abraham and Isaac, I know we've heard this story many times. And listen, I went through the Bible, and I was overwhelmed with how many stories. It was all down to the point of, are you going to do what God asked, or are you not going to do what God asked? And so I just, you know, we were talking last night, I had Pastor Joanna, you're so anointed by God, because I was actually going to use that scripture and that story this morning. And when I was talking with my husband last night, we were going over some things and I said, no, this is the right one. And so I changed my story. So they got to hear a piece of what I was going to speak anyway. And I just love how the Holy Spirit does that. Don't you just love how he wants us to get what he needs us to get? So I want you to pull out your word today, because that is why we're here, is to get the word inside of us so that when the world hits, we know what to do. In Genesis 22, it's Abraham and Isaac, and it's God asking, I'm going to paraphrase it and tell the point that I want to get to, because the topic of my message is a heart of obedience leads to blessing. A heart of obedience leads to blessing. Now, Abraham was told by God, I want you to give a sacrifice. And I want you to take your son up, the only son that you've been given, and I want you to lay him on the altar. And I want you to sacrifice him before me. Now, I cannot imagine what was going through Abraham's mind. I cannot imagine the sacrifice and the devastation that he had to probably work through. And he was faced with a choice, wasn't he? He was faced with the choice of, no way, God, sorry, I love my son. You finally gave him to me. This is already a blessing. How am I going to tell his mother about this? Like, I'm sure there were so many things coming at him. But he had made a choice that he was going to serve God. So they go up to the mountain, and his son says, where's the sacrifice? And he says, God will provide. So right away, it shows me he was in faith, because he still believed God was going to come through. He even said to the people that were at the bottom of the mountain, stay here, we will return. We will return, him and his son, even though he knew he was going to the mountain to sacrifice. But he had such faith in a God that he trusted. He had such faith in a God that he knew intimately. And that's the key in obedience. In when you are in a relationship with someone and you trust them and you believe in them, when they ask you to do something that maybe is outside of the box, you trust them enough to do it. You trust them enough to do it because you have confidence and faith in them. So here's this incredible relationship between God and Abraham. Now, I always think about Isaac. I mean, I would probably be like, as Isaac, why are you tying me up? Why are you putting me on this altar? Like, this is, what in the world? Like, I don't know. I mean, like, he doesn't even say that he spoke at that moment. I'm just like, that, it just had to be crazy for him. And what a sign right then in verse 15. We're going to get into verse 15. Actually, I'm going to go a little ahead, okay? In verse 13, Abraham lifted his eyes. He looked up behind him, and there was a ram caught in the thicket. An angel appeared to Abraham, and he said, don't stop. You have been, like God said, stop, enough. Thank you for that. Thank you. And here we go. Then God provides a ram in the thicket right behind them, and they sacrifice the lamb that day. And then verse 15 says, the angel of the Lord called Abraham a second time out of heaven. And he said, by myself I have sworn, this is God saying, that the Lord, because you have done this thing and have not withheld your son, your only son, verse 17, blessing, I will bless you, and multiply, I will multiply you, your descendants, the stars in the heavens, and the sand into which is on the seashore. And your descendants shall possess the gate of their enemies. In your seed, all the nations of the earth shall be blessed, because you have obeyed the voice. So Abraham returned to his young men, and they rose and went back to Beersheba. Listen, if he would have not obeyed, would the blessing for future generations have been there? This was something, such an incredible promise for him, because if you think about Abraham, he only had Isaac. Isaac was so special to him. It was such a victory for him. It was so intimate to him. And here's God saying, because you obeyed, now I'm going to bless all of your seed. And it will be as the stars. Your descendants will be great. They will take back the land of their enemies, the gate of their enemy. I mean, what incredible promises. And I believe that God speaks to us through every story in the Bible, because it's not just for then, but it's for us now. And the Lord is saying to us girls here at Girlfriends, listen, if you just obey what I ask of you, blessing will follow. Blessing will come. Those things that you've prayed for will happen. But you need to be willing to be obedient in the request that I make for you in your world and in your life. Blessings are not just for ourselves, but they are for the generations to come. Isaac watched this happen. Isaac watched his dad go through this struggle and this wrestle with the Lord. Isaac watched his dad be faithful. I've watched my parents be faithful through the hard times. I've watched my parents build this house. I have watched the sacrifice that has been made. I have watched it. And because of that, I can continue. I can then step into what God has for me. But if I saw them fail, and I saw them be disobedient, and I saw them be reckless with their lives, where would I be? Where would Isaac be? What would happen to all those descendants and all those generations? You see, it is pivotal for us to be obedient to the word of God. It is not even an option, women, for us to play around with our disobedience in the Lord. It is too life-threatening, because it is not ours. You are being watched in your lifestyle and your obedience. And in your obedience, that will produce blessing. You're praying for that baby, that child that's doing their own thing. Listen, you be obedient to what God tells you to do, and blessing will follow. You stay confident in what God has told you to do. Disobedience will lead down the path of deception, destruction, failure, devastation. I've seen it time and time and time again. I've watched people tell me what God has told them to do, and they don't do it. And I watch them not get their healing. I watch them not get their blessing. I watch them go down the wrong path. I watch them fall away from church. In a pivotal moment, when the Lord is speaking to you, you need to make a choice. Because in obedience brings blessing, it brings favor, it brings a blessed life and a heart that is free. And you say, oh, I want that. I want to live with a heart that is free. I want to live a life of blessing. I want to live a life of favor. I want my kids to have that. Then listen, it all starts with us. And we have to fix our hearts, and we have to bring them before the Lord and say, what is it, God? What is it that I have not been obedient in? Where is it? And where do I even start? And so we're going to get to that. How do I start walking in obedience? How do I even start? Let me say this, and it's not my point, but I want to say it because it's something Dan and I have always challenged people with when they're in a, you know, people will come to us and they will say, everything in my world has stopped. I feel like I'm not hearing God's voice. I feel like every door is slamming in my face and I just don't know what to do. And Dan always says this to them. He challenges them and he says, what was the last thing that God told you to do? And many times they don't know because we push it down in a way when it's something we don't want to do. We just kind of, oh, that must have not been God. Or, oh, we talk ourselves out of it. We justify why we're not doing it. And there was this one couple, and they said, well, the Lord had told us to go to this church and help plant us when we were planting Coachella Valley. And I didn't want to go. I hate the desert, and I love my church. And they were just planted here, and they loved it here. And we said, well, if that's what God is telling you to do, then this might be why you can't find a job, why you can't, you know, your family's not getting where you need to go. So they said, oh gosh, okay. And it was a sacrifice from them because their family was here. And they moved down to Coachella. And I'm not telling you, in like 2.5 seconds, he got the best job he had ever gotten. They had had a nicer home than they've ever had their whole lives. They were planted in the house of God where they were being used for his purposes and his plans and his ways. And it was such a beautiful example of if you would just go back to the last thing that the Lord had spoken to you, maybe you've blocked off that communication and that blessing because we have not been listening to the voice of God. And we are suppressing what we want, what he wants for us. And when we don't allow, it's like if you have a pipe full of water. I wanted to get a pipe, but I couldn't. So if you had a pipe and it was clear and it was flowing of water and here's the blessings of God, and then God asks something of you that's just usually out of the box, usually uncomfortable, and usually definitely not your idea, right? That's usually what he does. And you tie the pipe in the middle. All of a sudden, is the water flowing? Is the blessing flowing? Okay, well, that request was made known and you tied that pipe. So now you're wondering, well, why am I not... Where did my pool go? And where did my flowing go? And where did my finances stop? And why are we always at each other? And why? Well, go back. What did God ask you to do? Because it's all somehow connected. It's all somehow ordained by God in heaven. And you are not going to be able to put your finger on it. You're not going to be able to understand the plan because it's not your idea. It's not your way. And this is where we get into how do I start in obedience. Number one, you seek the will of God for direction. So many times we seek our own pleasures, our own desires, our own wills, our own wants. We make plans according to what we think. We don't make plans according to what he thinks. We most of the time as Christians do not even consult God on matters. I mean, we need to get so petty in a way that we're like, okay, God, what store should I go to today for the best deals? We need to get so connected and so reliant on hearing the voice and the will of God that we say, okay, Lord, who do you need me to bless today? Because I need to be where you need me to be so that I can bless someone else. And you see, instead of thinking of our lives as for us, we have to start thinking of our lives for him. And I believe that if we can seek his will and his way for direction, everything will then pan out the way it should. The obstacles will be easier to get through. You will know the plans that are laid out for you, says the Lord. I have plans for good, for hope, and for a future. But listen, we have to be obedient in that. Not my will, but yours be done. This is not my plans and my ways and my thoughts, God. Jesus was a perfect example of this. When he was right before he was going to the throne in Matthew 26:39, right before he was going to the cross, he prayed. And I love this. In Matthew 26:39, it says, he went a little further and he fell on his face praying. Let's stop there. Sometimes you need to fall on your face and pray. Sometimes you need to get outside of your box and your heart's desires and your patterns of life and get into the face of God. This has been a rough week for me, very rough. And I have been in the face of God on every moment, on every level. In fact, so much so that I'm like one of those people that was floating in a cloud, you know, yesterday, and my kids are telling me about school stuff, and I'm like, I don't care. Like, you want to go do praise and worship together? You know, like, I was like, la la, you know. But it was so wonderful because being with my King, nothing else satisfies. When I'm in his face, I can hear the clear direction of what's next. When I'm in his face, when the enemy and those things are coming, those fiery darts, but I'm at the face and I'm at the throne of God, it doesn't matter what's coming because this is what matters and this is where I'm at and this is how I am. I'm surrendered and we're humbled before the Lord, as we talked about. We can hear the voice of our God. We can hear the will and the way that he's desiring for us to go. He's saying, listen, I've got plans. And so here's Jesus, and he says, he fell on his face and he prayed, saying, oh, my Father, if it possible, let this cup pass from me. I always read that and thought, oh, that's very human of him. You know, like, I would be like, let it pass, just let it keep on moving by. You know, like, this is a big deal. And then he says this, nevertheless, not as I will, but as you will. Listen, you can state what your plan is to God and he will listen, because I love how he just amuses me. He tends to listen, and then in the middle of it, he'll always cut me off and correct my heart. And I'm like, okay, so what do you want? Because I'm doing the one all the talking. And I believe Jesus was just submitting his heart and his life. And he said, not my will, but yours. Because the bigger picture is what is the greatest picture. Because that call, there's nothing greater than that. There's nothing greater than what he was gonna do for us. And I'm so grateful that he had this heart, that he could show us how to walk in it. He was a beautiful example. Girls, get alone. Tell your kids, I got an appointment with my King. Put on a show for them that you know is not gonna be bad. Go up into your closet and get on your face. You say, oh, but I can't, they're crazy. Okay, fine, they're crazy. Then get a babysitter for an hour and make that time not, you're gonna go run your errands, you're gonna call your girlfriend that you haven't caught up with in a while, or you're gonna do, no, you're gonna go be with God. Because see, these are pivotal times in our world. These are pivotal times for your children. These are really changing and moving fast. And if you are not connected to what the King is saying and you're not connecting to his will and his way and his want and his desire for you, you're gonna be lost. You're gonna be swimming in a pool, not knowing how to swim and trying to get up and going, where are you, God? Where are you? And he's going, I'm right here, but you're just everything around you so loud. You can't hear me. You can't even spend enough time with me. You gotta always be with your friends. You gotta always be with your husband. You gotta always fill your day up with so many things because you're insecure. Your insecurity is a piece of why you stay away. Because when we get closer to God, we have to deal with our insecurities. You fill your world with lots of people when you should be filling your world with lots of God. He's longing to be that one. He's longing to be that intimate relationship to where he can speak like one word to you and you go, yeah, I got it. Okay, let's do this. And you're on your path and you're on your road and you're going where you need to go. I'll never forget the time that I was shopping and there was a lady in front of me, and you've probably heard me tell the story, but for those that haven't, she was in front of me and I was very broke at this time. And I was getting sheets. I had someone coming to my house to stay at my house. And I was getting sheets for them because I'm a clean freak, and anyways, I don't want them in my sheets. So, my mom is shaking her head at me because she just doesn't get that. Okay, so I'm buying sheets, and I'm getting, you know, sheets. And so I'm just like telling Dan, okay, we got enough just for these sheets. This is good for me, you know? And I'm like behind this lady, and she's struggling because she can't pay the full price of everything that she had in front of her. And the Lord spoke to me and said, finish paying for what she owes. And I'm like, no. I wasn't a pastor that I don't think. I am wrestling with God because I had just enough for the sheets. You know what I mean? And so, I was in faith for the sheets. And so he says, really? Like, he always questions me, like, really? You're gonna disobey me right now? And I'm like, I'm not doing it. I only got enough for these sheets, and that's all stuff that you don't really need. is like stuff that you really don't need, you know, like. So the Lord is like, okay, and he just shut up. Now, I learned from this lesson, when he gets quiet, that is not good. So I let her just wallow and move on and not get the stuff that she was gonna get, and I got my sheets, and I went home, and boy, did that week, it was miserable. He was like, on me, everything was wrong, there was just no, and it all came down to that moment that I said no. And he said, okay. And then my week was left to itself, and everything went wrong that could have gone wrong that week. And I wonder why it was such a bad week. And that was such a moment for me, because it was like, oh, that was what you wanted me to do. And I so was disobedient in that moment. And I love my mom's message last night in the lack. Give. There's blessing in it. If I would have given, what would have come of that? I do often think about that. And I never have forgotten the scene of me standing at that counter and that woman there with her stuff that I didn't think was important. And me and my stupid sheets that the people never even came to my house and slept in them. I had to walk in forgiveness for that, believe me. Because I even filled my fridge up for them because I'm a good host. So anyways, it was hard. And it was a lesson that God was showing me. Now you're going to see what happens when you disobey. You're going to see. And that was small. But there are some big things that God is now asking of me. I've come to new levels with new devils. I love how they say that. It's so true. And I am now so afraid of God that I am not going to ever say no. So that means I have to be out there in front of everybody. Now listen, if he's asking that of me, I know he's asking that of you. Because we are all full-time ministers of the gospel of Jesus Christ. We are his hands and we are his feet. We need to know his will and his way, because it may be you at Walmart. It may be you at wherever you are and you come across somebody. It may be you standing and minding your own business and somebody comes to you and you're going, all right, I now have to be faced with this. I have to help this person because I know the answer. His name is Jesus. And so listen, I believe our steps are ordained and we have to be willing and ready to seek his face so we can get his will. Okay, number two, die to your wants and your desires. This is just so hard. You know, it's funny, I figured out why people have more children past three, okay? Because the first one, you're still very selfish. And they are an accessory and you can still do your life with them. Then two, it rocks your world a little, like, whoa, this is not as easy to do my life, but you're dying to different things. You're now watching cartoons all the time. And macaroni is usually the lunch item on the docket. And going out to eat is always at a kid-friendly restaurant where there's lots of noise. So you cannot hear your husband speaking to you. And if, you know, a potato gets thrown across the table, who cares, right? And so by then, you're just like in the world of whatever. Then by your third one, you don't even buy clothes. You're like, whatever. They need them more than me. The husband needs it more than me. Everybody needs it more than me. And then you become a martyr, right? And then probably by the fourth, which I am not going to try because I did forget to get the third one dressed today and we were running out the door and I thought, yeah, good thing we don't have any more. So I can only imagine that you are completely dead to anything that you would ever want or desire. And so why not have more, you know? And so I think that I'm just joking, you guys. If you don't know me, I am a jokester, okay? So I'm joking. But I believe that it is similar to that, that when we began to shed off our wants and our desires, that now I can tell you, I don't care if I eat macaroni and cheese. It's actually good. And I love shopping for my kids. And I don't, in fact, Dan made me go get shorts yesterday. And I'm like, why? Because it's hot. Oh, okay. You know, like, so I mean, I really just don't care about those things anymore. They are no longer my wants or desires because I care so much about the kids and about my family that actually makes me happy, that actually fulfills my heart, that actually brings joy to my face and to my life. And I believe it's the same thing with the Lord. As we begin to lay down those things that were important to us, those desires and those wants and that career that you supposedly thought that was supposed to be and that husband that you decided, and you just lay it down and you just say, here you go, fine, God, here. I believe God says, good, now I can move. And now when whatever comes in your life, you're gonna be so pleased with it because you have died to your wants and your desires, and now you're open to hear my wants and desires. And it goes back to point one, when you get his will, you're gonna be blessed. When you get his will, you're gonna look around and go, I never wanted this for myself, but boy, is this exactly what I want. You know, and so how many of you have been in a situation where you are living what you never wanted, but you're so happy you're there? I used to tell my parents, I am never gonna be in ministry. I am never gonna preach. I'm gonna be a nurse. Okay, I hate blood, so that's not gonna work. So I think God has a sense of humor. Now I'm very scared to say never. Because I think he listens and he just does it to poke us, you know. My husband went to Oklahoma on a mission trip. He did like this whole thing across the United States of America. And the worst place he went, the bus broke down in Oklahoma, Tulsa, Oklahoma. And it was in the dead of the summer. And he said, oh, I am never coming back here again. And sure enough, we were in Tulsa, Oklahoma for 2 years for Bible college. And I'm like, this is all your fault. Like, so be careful of putting your plans before what God's plans are. Be careful that your wants and your desires are not yours, but they are his. Because he does want to place those and put those inside of us. Obedience is submission. Submission is coming under the mission. Girls, we are to come under the mission of God. We are to come under his mission. What has he got? He has a plan. And I'm here for a reason. So what is that mission? What is it? My obedience is going to be there. We live a life to seek our own, but we were not created for our own purpose, but we were created for his. We will live for ourselves, our wants, our desires, our needs, and we are in disobedience. When you find yourself, now, you know, you may not be able to notice you're being selfish, because a lot of times that is a deception, I think. But ask a close friend, because they will always be able to notice when you're being selfish. Now, they won't tell you because they love you, but ask, do you think I'm selfish? Do you think that I always kind of want to get my way? Do you think I kind of always make plans so that it like benefits me? Do you think that maybe I think things out and get people to do what I want them to do because I'm the master manipulator? Listen, that is not godly. That is not what God wants of us. That is not who we were created to be. Because in that, you are then gonna try and pull the same thing on God. You're gonna try and manipulate him. You're gonna go before the throne. Well, if you do this and I do this and you do, and you negotiate terms with the Lord. And sometimes I'm like, he's God, you don't negotiate. It is what he says it is. Now, sometimes he's very gracious and he will allow us to have what we request, but not at the benefit of us, but as at the persistence of us. You know, when your kid asks you over and over and over and over again, and you're like, fine, just fine. And then they end up getting hurt and you're like, see, I told you that was gonna happen. Sometimes I feel like God is like that with us. Like, you wanted it so bad and now you had to go learn. Listen, let's not be that people. Let's be the girls that says, I don't know, when somebody asks us to do something and say, I need to consult God on that. I'll get back to you. It's okay to not have the yes answer right away. It's okay to tell people, no. I'm learning this. No. I know it's hard for girls to say no because girls are the nurturers. We're the ones that take care of life. We're the ones that see things before they happen and make sure that it all gets done and da-da-da-da. But listen, sometimes God is saying, say no so you could stop and spend time with me, so you could find out my will, so then you can die to your desires, so then you could be obedient, so then we could walk in the way we're supposed to walk. But it's all out of line here, daughter, because you are so into you. You have to get out of the way so I can be in the way. Romans 8:13 says, for if you live according to the flesh, you will die. Well, that's just simple. I don't know how much more simpler he can make it. If you live according to the flesh, you will die. Okay. Let's go to the second part. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you die to your flesh, girls, you will live. So we've got to die in order to live. You say, that is so backwards. Yes, it is, but it is awesome. Because as soon as you submit, remember how we say here that submission is freedom? Because let's talk about it. Your husband is telling you something you don't like, and you're going, well, I don't want to move, but you want to move, and da-da-da-da. Listen, if you do not come under the mission of your husband because he is the head of the house, you will be miserable. But if you come under that mission to whatever he's requesting, even if you know it's crazy, you know it's wrong, you know he hasn't sought God's face, you get on your knees and you get in the face of God and you ask God to change his heart, and you come under the mission of your husband, you will have a blessing in that. Because it is a dying of your wants and your desires. One time, actually, you know what? Let me go to the next point real quick. We die to our wants and our desires, and it makes it easier to hear the desires and the wants of our God. So if you're going, I'm not hearing God, well then, what is it in your life that maybe you need to die to? Because I know that he filleted me open this week and said, this has to die and that has to go. And I'm like, this is so painful, but it was so good and so necessary. And listen, he sewed me back up and put me back together, and we're all good now. Listen, God knows how to take care of us. He knows your heart, I don't know your heart. He knows your life, I don't know your life. But listen, he created you, he thought of you, he knew you before you were in your mother's womb, he knows every hair on your head, he thinks as many thoughts about you as sand on the seashore. I went to the beach the other day because my husband was like, we are getting out of here, we are just gonna go stare at something pretty because we live on Lagonia and it ain't pretty. And so I said, all right. So we went to the beach and we sat on the beach. And I'm like putting the sand through my hands, and I'm like, I almost started tearing up by me. I'm like really, you know, gentle right now because he's been sewing me up, right? But I'm like, really? So much sand. Like, how do you have this many thoughts? Are they good thoughts? Like, you know, like, they're all good thoughts. And he loves us so much. Number three, choose to obey his request. Pastor Michelle said this, and I just thought it was so incredible, that when you make a choice to do something, that you're more likely actually to follow through with it. That's why they do the Love Wait series for the kids, so that when they make that commitment, they have that mark, then that is something that is in their heart, that is something that they know they committed to. I believe it is a word covenant. It's a word covenant. It's something that is bonded together. And when we choose to obey, we freak the devil out. So what he's gonna do is he's gonna bring temptation. He's going to bring it, so just get ready. Because when you're disobedient, he loves that. But when you're obedient, he's gonna be on you like white on rice. Is that the way it's said? I always say it wrong. My husband's like, just don't use metaphors because seriously, you mess them all up. I did good. Okay, so, but he will be on us and he will try and get us to wane from our choices. So I have made a choice in my heart and in my life, I'm gonna serve God no matter what. But then what happens? That old friend that you guys were like, you know, we went to the clubs together, we got our groove on, it was so fun. And what's one drink? What's one? Okay, so that's fine. You went out the first night and you have kids and a husband, and they're kind of going, wow, you're acting weird. You know, like this isn't normal for you. Oh, but it's okay. I'm going to miss girlfriends today. Exactly. You know, you should make her an elder. Because seriously, that's how I feel. Then all of a sudden, you go out with that other friend and it becomes two drinks. And then all of a sudden, your husband is not happy with you. Your life is getting undone and you're not in church anymore. You don't go to girlfriends. I can always tell when you girls are not in girlfriends because you are much more snippety. When I'm talking to you, I'm like, ooh, she hasn't been in girlfriends. It's very true. In fact, I kind of get irritated when close people to me don't come to girlfriends because I'm kind of like, God, now I got to deal with you because you ain't been in church and now I got to deal with your bad attitude. And, you know, like, and honestly, just get into church. That was my little soapbox, sorry. So we're choosing to obey. You had a choice. You had a choice to say, oh, but I told God I was going to serve him all the days of my life. But then, oh, but one drink, but that friend that's ungodly. But you're opening doors that were closed, that you left behind. The old things are left behind. You went back. You went, like Pastor Michelle said, dumpster diving. You went back to the dumpster. You went back to the old trash, the old ways. You went away, your kids are watching you and they're going, oh, okay, well then I guess I can just like not go to church sometimes and still be okay with God. And I guess that, you know, other things are more important than the things of God. And you know, mom is doing whatever she wants to do. So, okay, my 10 years, I'm gonna do whatever I wanna do then. And listen, you are not a great example as a parent. And then you've not just ruined your heart and you're choosing to disobey God, but you're now ruining the lives that are watching you and following you, generations to come. This is what Abraham had a choice, and he fulfilled that choice, and it was blessing for his descendants. Girls, when you make a commitment, when you choose to obey, you follow through. I love what my parents have always said to us, and it's in the Word of God, and it says, let your yes be yes and your no be no. And I think we do that with God. Here you are, God, here's all my life. No, wait, I'm taking it back. Because now something cooler is happening over here. And something more fun is happening over here. And my flesh and my desires are over here. And sorry, God, but I'll take it back. But then I'll come back and I'll be your friend again, God. And then I'll want you again. And I'll want you back in my life when it all goes bad. And I think God is like, okay, come on, choose, daughter. Choose to obey me. When you make a choice, let your yes be yes and your no be no. That doesn't mean yes and no. That means yes is yes and no is no. To your own hurt. That means if you say, I'm gonna do that with someone, you better follow through. You say you're gonna be there, you better be there. You say you're gonna do something, you better write it down if you forget, but write it down. Because what's gonna happen is you're gonna hurt people along the way and they're gonna go, wow, she was a Christian, but she made this promise and commitment to me, this word covenant with me, and she broke it. And their hearts are going to get hurt. And you know who they're going to blame? God, not you. Because you're the representation to him. So when we choose to obey, we're a beautiful picture of God's goodness in other people's lives. Okay? So we're going to choose to obey. Back and forth wrestling with God, but always choosing to obey. It's okay. I wrestle with God all the time. Look at me. I totally failed at that store. But just recently, there was a night, we were here at church, and there was a gentleman, and he was in a profession that was like, it's Hollywood, he is good at what he does, he is just really planted in that season of his life, and the Lord, during service, spoke to me, and he said, give him a word, and I'm like, oh, I hate when you do this, because it's so uncomfortable, and so he says, I want you to tell him, you know, that I'm calling him back to ministry and out of the world and that he'll be on the front line. And I'm like, okay. So through the whole thing, I'm like, service is almost out. I mean, they're literally walking out of to the parking lot. And I'm like, God, you can just tell him yourself. Like, you know, and then I'm like, Dan is right there. Can you tell Dan to tell him? You know, like, I don't even really know the guy. Like, I did not know this man. I did not know him. I didn't know his story. I didn't know his life. Afterwards, they all filled me in on it, and I was like, oh my gosh, I really hope God comes through, because that would be totally awkward. So I ran up to him, and I said, God has a word for you. And he said, bring it. And I was like, wow, okay. Well, he said, and then I told him, and I'm like, don't know what that means, but there you go. He goes, all right, thanks. Oh. And he did that. He's like, oh. You know, like, because, I mean, this is going to be, like, life-changing for this man. But I saw the anointing of God on him, and I saw the call of God on his life. And it was such a wrestling thing for me, because I was like, what if I don't say it? Because then he may not know, and then what if I'm wrong? Girls, I went back and forth. And at the very end, to the last moment, I finally did it. And I walked away from that, and I said, okay, I did my job. Listen, be obedient. Even down to the last moment, just make sure you do the right choice. Make sure you do what he asks, because then you did what he asked, and it's in his hands, and it's at his feet, and it's now up to him. And he's a good God. He's always faithful. He always comes through. He will always back you if you're doing what he's asked you to do. So listen, in that story, which brought me to point four, is I chose to make the right choice and be obedient in that. But at the end of it, how did I follow it up? I followed it up with praise. The Lord told me to say that we need to praise after we've been obedient. Because sometimes in our obedience, we're insecure. We're not sure if we did the right thing. We're not sure if we said the right thing. We're not sure if we moved on our own ability, even though we really felt like it was God. But you know, there's that human part of us that goes back and forth. And God says, when you know that I asked you to do something and you're wrestling within yourself, praise me and thank me to continue it and thank me to complete it. And so when I walked away from that man that night, I said, I thank you, Lord, that whatever went out, that it would minister to him and that he would see the fulfillment of your goodness in his life. And I just left it in God's hands and I praised him because he's God. And who am I to say what and where and when? Who am I? And I believe God responds to our praise. I believe God wants our praise. It's not always worship like we've learned, but it's a heart of humble attitude. It's a heart of obedience. And it's a heart that says, I want what you got. God, I want what you want the way you want it. And if you can let that be your prayer, girls, I believe that God will begin to open up doors and things and show you things that you were like, oh my goodness, I did not realize that I missed God on that. And if you begin to begin praising him when you have been obedient, you will see the joy in what you've done. God will show you the goodness that comes from your obedience. There's blessing in it. Sometimes we can walk away from obedience and feel foolish and that we question God. But if we seal it with doubt, we seal the doubt with praise. Seal the doubt with praise. So when we walk away and we feel like, oh, I don't know, God says, seal that with praise. Because it's not yours to worry about. Seal it. If I told you to do it, it's going to be taken care of. Release the action, finish it with praise, thank him for what he did, and the outcome for your obedience. In Psalm 71:8, I love this. Let my mouth be filled with your praise and your glory all the day. Let my mouth be filled with your praise all the day. Filled with your glory all the day. Listen, our lives are to radiate the glory of God. We are his walking masterpiece. We are a picture of his heart to this lost and dying world. So girls, we have to be ready and ripe and on edge, ready to go. What do you got, God? Where do you need me to be? What step are you ordaining for me today? What person are you asking me to bless? Even in my lack, Lord, I will be generous. What is it you are asking of me, God? Because I'm ready to be obedient. Carrying out obedience develops a heart after his. One that he can trust, one that he can use, one that cannot be moved. A strong heart that is ready for what he has and is confident in hearing his voice and doing what our maker requires of us. I want God to say that about me. She's ripe. She's ready. I know if I ask her, she'll do it. And I know that my goodness can be radiated through her. The glory of God will be shown through her. I want God to say that about me. Do you want him to say that about you? So today, I'm asking you to go home. And I want you to get alone with your God, with the maker of the universe and heaven and earth. He knows your heart. He sees your heart. He knows what's going on in your life. And I want you to seek his face. Make an appointment with him. You may not be able to get up early in the morning like some of us can. You may have to do it at night. You might be a night person. Whatever. I don't really care what your MO is. It doesn't matter. You need to just find time. Find time. Be with God. Seek his face. If some things have stopped in your life, some things have kind of come to a halt, ask him. Remind me what it was that you maybe asked me to do, God, that I just forgot. Remind me what it was you asked me to say, and I didn't say to somebody. And then when he brings it back to your remembrance, repent. Ask for forgiveness. Lord, forgive me for not being obedient. Forgive me. You know, I love the verse where it says, children, obey your parents, for this is well-pleasing to the Lord, and you will live a long, full life. Children, obey your parents. That is a beautiful picture with us and God. Daughters, obey your father, because you will live a long, full life. It is honoring to him, and it is well-pleasing to him. I believe that God wants that from us, and that our hearts need to have a heart of obedience and a heart willing to be ready for what it is he needs us to do. So go be with God this week. Go find out what it is he's speaking to you. Find out, you say, okay, then I'm gonna start actually seeking him on every step. Good, go. If you go to the store, you need a good deal. Girls, so many times he said, don't go to that store, go to this one. And I do, and I'm like, woohoo, I like totally got a good deal. You know, and if you know me, I'll be like, oh yeah, I got this for this price. Cause I just love bragging about it. It's probably not good. It's probably center of me and I need to repent on that. But it's not being humble, okay? But listen, I do believe that if you commit your ways to the Lord, that he will meet you there and that he will show you what it is that is good for us. So let's just pray. Dear God, we just love you. God, we want to be women that have an obedient heart towards your ways and your wills and your wants and your desires. Lord, we submit our hearts to you today. And Lord, we just pray, God, that you would do a new work inside of us. And that, Lord, that you would guide our steps, that you would ordain every step. Lord, for your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And Lord, we just thank you, God, that you are gonna walk us on a daily basis through the steps that we need to be obedient daughters of God, to love the people you've asked us to love, even if we don't want to. Lord, to be faithful to the house of God like you've asked us to be when we're tired. Lord, to reach out and give, Lord, when there's lack in our own accounts or in our own ways. But Lord, that we would do it in faith, and God, that you would be so blessed that your heart would just know that your girls are here and we're faithful and we're ready to go. And Lord, we thank you, God, that our children and our children's children and our children's children's children, God, will reap the benefits and the blessings of our obedience. In Jesus' mighty name. And everybody said,
amen.
Amen.